Your son offered his assistance.
Alone? In the dark?
Without Louise, none of us gets into Baha'i. That's what you said you wanted, right?
He could have died.
He knows how to move through this world.
Yeah, just because he does doesn't mean he should.
Welcome to Fear Me, a podcast about The Walking Dead.
Fear Me.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Stuart.
And Scott.
Welcome to another episode of the Fear Me podcast. We're going to be recapping episode 5 of season 2 of Fear the Walking Dead, entitled Captive. So, Scott, what are you drinking tonight?
I'm trying a beer from the Grand Teton Brewing Company in Wyoming. Actually, Idaho, very close to the Grand Teton Mountains. And it's an American pale ale, and it's absolutely delicious.
What's it called?
Sweetgrass.
Sweetgrass, okay.
Sweetgrass.
Nice.
And Stuart, what are you drinking?
I am drinking a craft brew from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Established in 1844. It's actually got a long lineage.
Wow.
It is called Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Ooh.
And I've heard, actually, what goes into winning a blue ribbon goes into making one.
That just...
Ding!
That just gave me the gurgles. Yeah. Kimmy, what are you drinking?
Needless to say, it's a light beer.
I'm drinking the same, because we don't have time to go get something better. It's been a rough day. I'm not feeling too well, so we're just drinking the old Pibber tonight.
Okay, that's fine.
So we won't be on the same level as you, Scott, I don't think.
No, you won't. It's just not going to be the way.
I know, sorry.
It's okay.
But how was your Mother's Day?
Wonderful.
Yeah?
Took Mom and the wife and took them on a nice trip to the English pub and made them a nice breakfast. How about you? Did the family do stuff for you?
Well, I thought I was going to get breakfast in bed, but that didn't happen. I'm just kidding. But
you told everybody who you've talked to.
We were supposed to go to a baseball game, but then I hurt my toe by dropping a cup on it. So I almost broke my toes. But I severely bruised them, so we had to cancel the game. But
way to go, Swiftus.
And the reason that happened is because I was reaching for a vase to put the stinking Mother's Day flowers in that the kids had gotten me.
Nice. And I like the way you added stinking.
Yeah, I know. They were actually very nice. But it actually turned out better that way, because then I got a shot of whiskey for the pain, and then I got mimosas all day long from Stuart, and I got quiet time, and I got to put my feet up, and I got to read a book and take a nap.
Wow, you must have been a zombie later.
Yeah, I was very happy.
People are going to think we are complete luscious, that we just like sit around and drink all the time. I got a shot of whiskey and mimosas.
Your point.
Then we gave the kids some vodka, and they passed out on the floor.
You should have seen my dog last night. He fell off the porch.
Well, I think any parent understands.
Yes. You got to medicate.
Yes, you drink as much as you can when you can. So it was a good day.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yes, but
well,
now
Kimmy, why don't you tell us what you thought of the episode?
Oh yeah, that's what we're doing tonight.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So my overall impression was I really liked this episode. I was on the edge of my seat for most of it. There was a lot of suspense, and I really dug the whole Reed zombie thing. And I really liked Alicia coming into her character, and I'm really starting to like her a lot more. And Madison, I think this whole episode was like girl power type episode, and I really dug it. So, yeah, it was good.
Stu, what'd you think?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it was very good. But I have to say, without going into too much detail about everything that was going on, I think the one takeaway from it was that Daniel is a badass, and I thought his character was great in this episode.
Yeah, except for one big, big error he made. But we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, don't take him down right now. He's awesome.
Well, I thought it was just another episode in a great series that they've got going on. I liked that it was fast paced, and I like the, like Kim was saying, the suspense was strong, and I really love the way they dispense with their situations pretty quickly, where we would probably have half a season about the pirates on another show. On this one, we get done with it in a couple episodes, and it doesn't really hurt the story at all, and it kind of gives you it's kind of realistic, because you have to think that at the time of the apocalypse like this, you know, it's going to be very fluid, it's going to be very fast paced, it's going to be very chaotic, and right. They've made that this season.
Well, do you really think that the whole pirate thing is over with this group?
I think for the most part, I don't think maybe with Jack. But I think for the most part they kind of depowered him a good bit. Mm. I mean, what is there, like six of them left now?
Well, I think Prego Lady is going to come back to rue the day. We could talk about this later too. But I think that the pregnant lady and Jack and Alex.
Pregnant lady's name is Vita, by the way.
Vita. Okay. Well, I think that all three of them are going to come back into play somehow.
Okay.
Yeah, but not together necessarily. Maybe Jack and the pregnant lady, Vita. Mm-hmm. But I think Alex is on her own. I don't think she's following orders from those people. I think she's going to jet off. Or she already did.
Yeah, I think she already jetted off.
Yeah, I agree. But yeah, I don't think we've seen the last of them.
You know, Scott, I agree with you that they. It's awesome that they are kind of starting and ending these small storylines pretty quickly, which is very different than anything we had ever seen from our other show. But I was kind of disappointed that they killed that Connor guy off so easily.
I was and I wasn't. I mean, you know, was he going to be another governor or something like that? I don't know.
They built him up as like something. And mm-hmm. then all of a sudden it was like a weak death. He was just like easily just stuck his arm in that zombie's mouth.
Sure. But we also kind of found in the episode that really the psycho situation was not him. It was Reed.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that Connor was kind of the more, even though Reed, you know, said he was the more psycho, it was actually Reed that was more psycho. Connor was more trying to keep them together somewhat.
Yeah, according to what Reed was telling.
Well, and Daniel, a couple of them.
And Jack said too. Is right. it Jack or is it Jake?
Jack. Jake is okay. The other kid on Alex's boat that died.
That's what's confusing me. Yes, okay, gotcha.
Right.
Died horribly.
Yeah. Yeah, but he said it to Alicia as well. Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, no, Reed.
That's Reed.
Loose cannon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not totally upset about it because
I'm not either, but it was just, I was surprised. I was just surprised it was such an easy kill.
Well, I will agree with you on this too, Stu, because I was a little surprised because, and I don't want to go too much into the ending of the show yet, but I was kind of surprised that it wasn't a cliffhanger left at the end, the exchange. Yeah. I expected, you know, I was looking on the screen, it's like 5 minutes left. I'm like, oh, they're just going to end it when they're about to give the exchange and it'd be next week.
Right.
But no, they carried it through.
Yeah, or Alicia was still left behind mm-hmm. or something.
Right.
Yeah, right.
I think they have so much story to tell. There's no point in doing a cliffhanger yet that's of that magnitude.
Well, I think what's exciting is that they're burning through all this stuff so quickly that there's got to be something big.
Yeah.
You know, like they're trying to get them to Mexico. So what's in Mexico?
Right.
At least that's what that's my hope, is that there's going to be something big happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's obvious that, you know,
nothing's obvious.
Well, we've been complaining about the fact that we don't know what's going on outside the U.S. and so forth. So, you know what? We're going to get a little glimpse.
Yeah.
And I think that's what I was saying last time was that and I don't think I fully fleshed it out, was that the interesting thing about what's happening, the things that are still happening on in the world, is that maybe we will get more of a glimpse of what that is. Mm-hmm. Maybe we'll get more information. Maybe we'll hear like real radio talk or radio chatter or something TVs down in Mexico.
So. Or that maybe they'll talk to Mexican officials and they'll give them the information. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe Abigail knows something. You know, he's been down there kicking it back while this is going on. I'm sure he's probably been able to gain some information.
Mm-hmm. Enjoy the view.
With Luis's badass mother.
Yep. So what did you think about that opening scene? Set the scene.
I thought it was great.
You had Patsy Cline in the background. And the dude is cooking a steak up for Alicia.
That steak looked good.
It did look good. I was pretty impressed. Mm-hmm. But so he was a cook previously.
Yes.
Before the zombie apocalypse.
He was the ship's cook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On that particular ship. So right. I wonder how he got to be so, you know, well, how did he get to be in charge?
Well, I think he already had the nature, being that he was the cook, the nature of taking care of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine that probably carried forward when the rest of the crew abandoned.
And genuinely, a lot of people hold the cook in high regard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty important to their existence.
Yep. Yep.
You know what I thought was cool? The weird thing to me, or I shouldn't say the weird thing, the interesting thing to me is in any of these kind of horror shows or movies, it always reminds me or takes me back to Silence of the Lambs. When you've got the cheesemaker. Sorry, I forgot his name. Mm-hmm. Like the cheesemaker was doing. There seems like to be like something sinister going on while they're cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always because, you know, always brings me back to that moment.
Right.
You're like expecting something else to be revealed while
That's
they're cooking.
True.
You got to crack a few eggs.
Because I was thinking, I wonder what that meat actually is. Is it another
right?
Terminus. Captive? No, not Terminus.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Terminus, too. That's true.
Yeah. So that's a good point, Stuart.
I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing I think is kind of interesting, too, the now I could be wrong, but I was thinking like the governor and so forth. Most of the guys that end up being leaders were pretty common guys before. I mean, the governor mm-hmm. was like an insurance salesman or something, right?
Right.
And Connor was the cook.
Yep.
And I don't know what Negan was.
Negan was a used car salesman.
See? Look at that. It's all blue collar. The meek will inherit the earth.
Yep.
Very well said.
So on the show Revolution, Giancarlo Esposito, he was one of the leaders.
Mm-hmm.
And he also, this has just made me think about that too, but he was such a badass on that show, but he was also from a normal background. I can't remember what he was, like a...
Yeah, you're right. He was like a principal or something, or something.
I don't even think he was that high up. He was like just a, like a, he was almost like an insurance guy or something too, but...
Yeah, you're right. He was an insurance guy.
Yeah, and it only took like a couple
What's up with these insurance guys?
I don't know. Are they shifty?
Oh,
got something kind of
freaking me out a little bit.
I know. Anyway, so yes, to the point. They all come from very similar backgrounds, but it makes you wonder, like, what's that similar personality trait that makes them stand up when they need to stand up and take the reins when everybody else is falling around them, and how do they get people to fall in line behind them and to see them as a leader?
Well, I mean, it must be, you know, these guys are used to, I guess, being in the background, and when they then seizing opportunity.
I think they're just very watchful. Like they study people, study the way people mm-hmm. should be and the way that people should treat other people and respond to people. And then they, when the opportunity arises, they just take it.
I think that's a very good point.
So
very insightful, Kim.
Thanks.
Insurance guys always have kind of this stereotype of being the people that are pretty much selling nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They can sell anything. And I don't know, there's always been a very negative connotation associated with insurance salesmen.
Mm-hmm.
Even worse than vacuum salesmen.
Ooh.
Yeah, very true. Very true.
Are there any more vacuum salesmen?
No, there's not. No.
Yes, actually there are. Kirby still goes door to door.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What the hell is Kirby?
It's a vacuum.
Well, that's great, but what the hell is Kirby?
Yeah. A high-end vacuum, actually.
Yeah, it should be like a Roomba door-to-door salesman or something.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, we digress.
Yes, we do.
Greatly.
But I loved the Patsy Cline.
Yeah.
That was pretty nice.
And I love the skiing on in the background.
That's what that's what I was going to say. Sorry. What's up with that?
I know, it's hilarious.
It kind of made me want to know Connor a little bit more. He had some intricacies that would have been nice to explore a little bit, but we won't get that possibility, so.
Well, he definitely seemed like he was very in control of the entire situation and
very complex.
Yeah,
Jack even built him up so much that he was so complex, but man, he couldn't fight off that one zombie.
Nope, he couldn't.
That whole the scene was actually pretty cool. And then what was the pregnant girl's name again, Scott?
Vida.
When she stole that steak.
That's wicked.
Oh, I was like, yeah. You bitch. Even though exactly. She's pregnant.
I think the whole country went, you bitch.
I know.
Don't worry, she'll get hers.
Yeah. Alicia's trying to give it to her.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, then of course Alicia realized that she was trapped in that room after Vida split. And so she went exploring, and that's when she came out on out of the hatch and saw that she was actually on a dry dock ship. And that was a pretty cool scene.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that weird, though, that they only locked that one door?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, I think she went and tried a series of doors.
Yeah, she tried a whole bunch of doors before she found the hatch that was open.
Yeah, she found the hatch actually relatively easily.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess she can't really go anywhere when she gets up there. Unless she wants to jump.
Right. There really wasn't a whole lot of people on this boat.
Yeah.
Or having 12 people. I don't know where the rest of them were.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was only like 3 or 4 people on the boat, right?
Well, they said they had 5 boats, though, so they're probably all manned.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
With the other people.
But we only had, what, Connor, Alex, Jack.
Jack.
And Vida.
I wonder if they're counting Alex.
Well, you had Reed, and then you had the 2 other people that were killed that were on the yacht, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Alex.
Yeah. Well, I said Alex.
And Alex.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like.
We also had Alex.
Oh, I'm kidding. Was Alex there? What about Jake?
No. But they did bring the fear music back, too.
Yep.
After
she
was...
I like the interaction, or, you know, the way that they'll do that some episodes and some they won't. I think it's... perfect. I don't think it would have been as effective with Patsy Cline still playing.
No,
not at all.
It's kind of weird.
Patsy Cline, I tell you what, man, you play that music in certain situations, it's very creepy.
Yeah, yes, it worked well. It worked very well.
Yes, no doubt.
She's got that twangy voice that kind of makes you go, eh.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's awesome.
So on the Abigail, we find ourselves with Hole Punch Reed, right?
Hole Punch Reed.
Hole Punch Reed.
Yeah.
Yes. Mr. Tire Iron.
Yes. Mr. Soon-to-be Zombie Reed. Mm-hmm. And he's having... I love this scene with Daniel. I mean, that was great. The interaction and so forth.
He was awesome.
Yeah.
He was just... He was taking control of the situation even though he had no control.
Right.
Yeah, it was great.
And, you know, in Daniel's line, you know, after all of Reed's boasting and everything in Daniel's line, it says, I've known scary people. He says,
yeah.
Scary people don't have to tell you they're scary.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, no, that was
great
good.
Line. Yep. And then Daniel.
It reminded me of the governor.
Mm-hmm.
He's
because
no,
the governor
I like,
seems so normal.
I like Daniel's character. And it's Reuben Blades.
Yes.
Is that the
Reuben
actor's
Blades,
name?
Very veteran actor.
He's,
yep.
Yeah. He's done awesome with that character, I think.
I tell you what, though, I still could not understand why he would leave Chris to guard that guy. That made no sense to me at all.
Well, he obviously has some sort of trust in, or is at least trying to force these kids
to
take on some responsibility.
Yeah, but the guy was already trying to pick at Chris's brain already, you know.
Hey, man, it's writing. You got to create the situation. But yeah, I agree with you. That
I just
was
didn't
like,
think
I
it
was,
made sense.
I don't. No, I don't think that he should have left him there either.
Right. I mean, had Travis done it or somebody like that, you know, then I would have been all right. You know, just because they wouldn't know better, but Daniel should have known better.
Now, is that the objection you had with Daniel?
Yes, that was the only flaw in his picture that I saw on this show. Is it didn't make sense to me that Daniel would do something that stupid. But
okay, well, I see. I think that's minor.
Yeah, I do too.
I think Daniel has proven, I think Daniel has proven that he's trying to help these kids out a little bit and trying to beef them up, I guess you could say, so that they're not so afraid, because he was the one that took them to the island to rifle through all those baggages and things like that. And he was the one that stuck up for them and said, you need to stop treating them like children.
Yeah.
He is trying to get them to be responsible and to get in the game and like figure it out now, because if you don't, you're going to get killed.
I totally agree with you. And I think you're correct. I could see Daniel leaving Nick there to go to guard him. I just don't see, with he's already screwing with Daniel's head, with Chris's head, that's just not very observant on Daniel's part to leave the kid there.
Yeah, because when he was in the room talking to him, the guy was screwing with him.
Right, and Daniel was, or he kept telling kept telling Chris, get out of the room, and Chris was like, no, I'm fine.
But realistically, what's Chris going to do? He doesn't know that Chris has the gun, right, first of all. So the guy has a stake through his chest and he's just about dead. So what could Chris possibly do to screw it up? He has no idea about this gun and how really bad it could be.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, he doesn't know.
And our buddy Reed, he could live for a long time with that thing in his stomach.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
It wasn't looking too good.
Nope, but a gut wound like that, that's why the gut wounds are so bad, is because you can live a long time with the gut wound.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not very treatable.
Yeah. Well, and that was the cool thing, too, to see Daniel treating him, trying to clean the wound and all that stuff. And you know that he's just trying to get information out of this kid.
Right. He was just interrogating the guy.
Yeah.
He was using the soft touch, which was really cool. Shows that the guy does know the way around his interrogation rooms.
Yeah, he totally knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
The best part was, though, right before, Scott, that quote that you said he said was when Reed was talking. He said he has a dozen men, 5 boats, 3. And then all of a sudden, that's when Daniel, shoves something right in the wound.
Right, exactly.
And the guy just starts screaming.
He doesn't even do that. He doesn't even do that.
Yeah, because he was like, you could tell Daniel was just like, all right, fuck you.
Yeah, but, he didn't even do that when he was talking about Ophelia.
No.
He just kind of smiled at him when he was going on about Ophelia.
Yep. Well, no, because, that was after he did that to him.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, he was definitely playing that guy like a guitar.
Yeah, that was good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a great scene. And I thought Jesse McCarthy, I believe it's the actor who played Reed, did a great job.
Yeah, he did. So did you know who Jesse McCartney was before this show?
Singer, maybe. I heard something about him being a singer. I don't know.
I had no idea who he was, so I had to look him up because everybody's like, oh my God, it's Jesse McCartney. I'm like, who the hell is that? Yeah, so he had some hit called Beautiful Soul or something like that that came out in the 2000s. But I wasn't really impressed. He was in a boy band.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Was he hanging out with Marky Mark?
I don't think he's of that caliber, even.
It's way after that, though. What year did you say?
It was like 2000 or something, 2002.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, not impressed. But apparently he's huge, so.
I heard a comedian today compare. He said Mark Wahlberg was a... alternate dimensions Matt Damon. If Matt Damon had been born by a crack whore mother.
Where did you hear this?
Comedian on the radio. I'm laughing. Yes, we just lowered the level there.
We didn't mean to offend any crack whores.
No, sorry about the crack whore moms out there. Didn't mean it that way. His story, though, about the tendon, cutting his dad's tendon.
Brutal.
That made me cringe.
Brutal story.
Well, see, that was the weird thing, because didn't he say his brother did that?
Yes.
And then he came back with, but my brother's not the bad one.
Right. And see, and I don't, right. I think he was
weird.
He was saying his brother was being protective of him. But he's the one who really got into it, I would think.
Yeah. Makes me wonder what he was like before the zombie apocalypse.
I think he was probably a little psychopath.
Sounds it.
Yeah. He was in his element now.
Yeah, he's enjoying it now. Just like Nick, mm-hmm. except in a different way.
In a different way.
So I guess the takeaway is that you just need to be a confused teen in the zombie apocalypse and you'll fit in perfectly.
I don't know. Chris hasn't really.
But he has in a way.
He's coming around.
He's coming around. I think Daniel's going to bring him full circle, full tilt.
Full tilt. I love that Daniel says to Chris, do not engage.
Yeah, that was a good line, actually.
And then all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, engage is starting. Here it comes. Yeah. Here comes the engage. I see engaging. Watch out, it's engaging.
Like when you warn somebody not to do something and they do it. Do you think maybe he said that just to see if he actually would do something?
No, I think he was serious. Don't engage him. That's why I'm saying the judgment was pretty stupid.
I have to say, when Nick came down the corridor and that door was open and Chris was talking to the guy, I was like, why the fuck does he have that door open?
Right.
I know.
Nick's conversation with him was great. He was like, don't take the blame for not killing that girl because she was pregnant. I would have done the same thing.
The one thing I wanted Nick to add, though, in the conversation is that Reed was trying to hit Chris with the fact that he's an orphan and that the people there are not his blood family, right, and that they'll abandon him because of that. You know, Nick heard that. He was in the hallway when that conversation was going on because you heard the end of it when he was walking up. And he should have said something to him about that they were family.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But he didn't say anything like that. But
I don't know if he heard all of that. I don't know if he got that much detail out of it. But, yeah, no, I agree with you. Yeah, you felt like he needed to say, no, you're one of us.
Right. Right.
But, you know, speaking of family, the scene between Ophelia and her father,
yes,
right outside the door of that room, mm-hmm, and Ophelia was questioning what her dad was doing in there when she saw all the bloody rags. And he's like, he required attention. What does that mean? And he's like, it's medical attention. Like, come on, lady, like, get it through your head. I'm not trying to hurt everybody out here, that I'm actually sincere and you need to start trusting me.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that.
I thought Ophelia had a couple of good moments on this show. Mm-hmm. I thought that was good. And I also thought when they were cleaning up the remnants of Reed, her statement about that, you know, this is us now.
Mm-hmm.
We spill blood and then we have to clean it up.
Yeah. I like that they're giving her more lines. I like that actress.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, I think they're giving good play to all the characters right now. They've got a good balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're giving voice to some of these characters that we were bitching about even into the beginning of this season who weren't really seen as participants. They were more just tag along whiners,
right?
And I think it's what's made this season so much better,
because they're developing everybody.
Yeah I mean, they're giving some voice to these characters and they're able to do it in a way that is not like you know, too chaotic,
right
you know, just subtle stuff every once in a while. You don't need to have a whole lot more than that. I think Nick's development is built almost entirely on subtle stuff. You know, I mean, it's just a comment here or a comment there and so forth like that. And you really get...
Yeah, but he has a direction, even though he seems mm-hmm. like the person that would have no direction at all. He seems to have like a purpose.
Yeah, he seems Madison's to know exactly
starting
what
to have
doing.
A purpose. Yeah. Strand seems to have a purpose.
Yep.
Travis still kind of wavering, and then Chris is still kind of wavering as to what's going on. Everybody else seems to be, well, with Ophelia, they're starting to give her some lines, but mm-hmm. she hasn't really gotten to that point yet.
Right.
She's just kind of coming around.
Mm-hmm. She's more the observer.
Yeah.
And as Chris Hardwick keeps joking, says, please don't become the moral compass because then you're dead.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Well, Travis is still around.
Yeah, Travis, I tell you what.
Although his compass never points in a single direction, it seems like.
No. I also didn't, I could not, you know, I thought his conversation with Alex was good. But I didn't quite get why he wouldn't mention more of Strand. Because why would he be the focus of her anger and not Strand who cut him off.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I questioned that at first too, but I think I've got it figured out. Like Travis had the option to fight for her to stay on the boat. Right. But he, in her eyes, he chose to put her in that boat, in the other boat, in the Zodiac. And so in her eyes, he kicked her off the boat and he's the one that's responsible for Jake's death. She doesn't know the entire story though. She knows nothing about Strand and about the type of person he is and about his rules of the boat and that sort of thing. And so that whole back and forth between them is him in his subtle way saying, that actually was really hard for me to do that to you. And it wasn't something that I wanted to do. It was something that I had to do in order to save your life.
So he was the one person she saw that knew the difference between right and wrong.
Yeah.
And still let her go.
Yes.
So he became the focus of the anger.
Yes. Because Strand, he's very cut and dry. Like she probably could figure out he was not wanting her on that boat. But everybody else was kind of waffling. Clear. Yeah, exactly. And everybody else was kind of waffling. But then Travis is the one that was like, oh, we can tow your boat behind us and we'll give you food and water, but that's it. So he pretty much condemned them to death in her eyes.
Right, right.
Well, and Alex even said, I saw it in your face.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She said, I saw it in your face, the decision that you wanted to make and you didn't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, she knew that it was kind of, he was the decider.
Right. And I thought it was strong when she brought up or was telling him about how she had to dispatch Jake,
mm-hmm.
who was dying, and they were out of water and so forth. And when Travis said, "Well, you did what you had to do," and she said, "No, I did what you made me do."
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's very true. But
followed that up with, "Well, I had to do it too."
Right. Right. And I think he kind of won her back by the end of the conversation.
Totally.
Well, I don't know totally. I don't know if totally. I mean, I think she's still pretty pissed off.
I think she's mad about the situation that she was put in, but I think that she has warmed up to Travis after that conversation. And that's why I'm like 100% sure we'll see her again.
Oh, I think we see her next episode.
In a good way, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think never mind. I'll talk about it later. but now, of course, the line of the night, I thought, was when she was getting ready to leave and Travis said to her, he says, so what are you going to do? And she said, well, Connor says he has a use for me. And then she paused and she says, no one uses me.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that to me awesome. Right then was like, she's leaving. She's out of here.
Yep. Told you. It's the badass chick flick night.
It was. It was. There was a lot of badass chick. We'll talk about Maddie a little bit later. we'll talk about Maddie a little bit later.
Yeah, keep practicing that one.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh.
But so here's what I'm wondering, though, with this whole thing. She requested Travis to be brought back to the ship. What do you think she wanted to see happen to Travis? Did she want to see him get tortured, or did she just, you know?
I think she just wanted to face him.
Yeah, just confront him on everything?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I don't think she cared what happened to him afterwards.
Well, I mean, it's a good point. It is a pretty major thing. For if you go get those guys, I want Travis. Because
mm-hmm.
What is she going to do with him? I mean, and that's where I felt it was a little odd that she was listening to his conversation quite so much and so in depth. If she's so pissed off at the guy, I'd be like, screw you. You know, yeah. You're in the cage.
Yeah.
That's it. Because, I mean, that's pretty big lengths to go have these people go grab him.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think she'd have a lot more to say.
That's true. She did. Yeah. She did sit and talk to him for quite a while.
Well, she's obviously, I mean, she's definitely conflicted because, you know, we see that she's a badass and who can take care of herself. At least we think so. But she's a little more compassionate than mm-hmm. some of the badasses on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, she was compassionate with Jake. I mean, she had, I guess, a personal reason for it because she took his mom's place on Flight 462, if everybody doesn't remember that or has not seen it yet. But, yeah.
She felt obligated to him.
Yeah, she felt, there's your obligation thing, Scott.
Yep, it was an obligation.
But she saw something in Travis, and that was the whole reason why she was so mad at him in the first place. Because she saw that there was the compassion in him, and he did not stand up for her, as you stated.
Travis coming on board with what Strand said and so forth, I think surprised all of them. Because even Maddie looked at him like, what?
You know? Right.
So it was definitely not something they were expected for him to jump on board and support that.
And again, I think Travis was just trying to keep the peace, kind of.
Well, I think he knew he had told her he would support her.
Yeah.
You know, when they had the meeting between the two of them, and she said, you know, we got to be unified in this. And he was like, I just don't know, you know, and finally he just said, you're right.
Right.
And I think we all know who's running the show there.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Maddie's taking control of the situation.
As she should.
Well, she was controlling Nick when Nick was saying he wanted to go ashore. When he volunteered to volunteering to go take Reed in. Zombie Reed.
Yes, right. Where she jumped in and said, yeah, I thought it was a great line when she said, when he said, well, why not? And she said, because you want to do it.
Yep. I like that part too.
Yeah. But we'll talk more about Maddie, but, cause there's a lot going on with Maddie in this episode. And, I think we could fill a whole hour just on what she had going on. When they got back on the bridge and you were dealing with, Maddie kind of taking over the situation with, our, frozen friend and Luis.
Yep.
And Maddie finally showed that she really was in charge of this situation. Even Strand had to back her. And again, like we said, like I keep harping on, he was obligated to her. And he pointed that out. And Louise had to back off.
Doesn't Louise remind you of Jack Black?
Yes.
He's better than Jack Black.
No, but he's like a thin Nacho Libre.
I certainly like him a lot better than Jack Black.
Really?
Oh, I can't stand Jack Black.
Seriously?
Oh, my God.
That's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame.
I think he's hilarious.
He's overacting every time.
You hated Seinfeld when it first came out, so.
I did not. I just didn't watch it.
You would not watch it at all, so. You'll come around. Yeah, you hated any bass guitar.
What's with the bass guitars? Ah.
Yeah, but you know what? You can't live without it now.
No, exactly. No, I've had my fill of Jack Black, so I'm okay with. That was one I've experienced over and over again, and really don't care for.
Well, anyways, I think he looks like him, spitting image. So
he's taller and not as fat.
Yeah, he's super skinny.
Yes, there's many other things. He has very weird facial hair.
He does. But I do like his character because you need a guy like that who's evidently, you know, he's got a lot of military background or training. And they're going to need somebody like that.
That's where I was a little confused that he jumped in and said how stupid an idea it was to take these guys on, cuz he just took out two people from who knows how far away on a boat. And I was like, come on, man. Well, you got to be on board for this.
But he didn't see any reason to stick their necks out. You know, he was just like, screw this. Let's just head south. We don't need to mess with this.
He's still confused as to how they're even going to get any more than two people over the border, because that's the deal that he had in the first place. So going back to get more people, he's obviously not in favor of.
Right. I think Luis will be around for a while.
Yeah, I hope he is.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be too temporary of a character. I think he's going to be with them for a bit. Because they definitely need someone in their group that has that kind of tactical training and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Just to help with some of the storylines. I did enjoy, you know, speaking of Louise's shots, I did enjoy the way Maddie explained to Connor over the radio what happened to Red and the other guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was good.
I thought that was good. They weren't with the program.
Yeah, yeah, that was very good. I was actually thinking about what the hell would I say in that situation? Because you don't know really who's on the other line. And just trying to explain, okay, how did we get here and how we still have the boat and... yeah, we still have your brother.
She managed it with authority.
I mean, yeah, it was awesome.
She really did a good job.
Did you see the way that she and Strand were looking at each other? She would just glance at him and he would nod his head and like, yep, continue with that.
Yeah, Strand has gotten some respect for her.
He certainly does.
If anything, as an adversary.
Yeah, I think he really respects her. And I think he respects the authority that she has with her family and that she's level-headed and can make a good decision. And that's something that you need right now.
And I think he also suspects there's more behind her than he even realizes.
Yeah.
You know, and when she, I mean, when she told Strand not to get between her and Nick, Strand's face was kind of taken aback with that.
Yeah.
He was just like, oh shit, she's for real.
You know, the other side of it is, though, that he said that we're even, but I don't think that he would necessarily not stick his neck out for her again. Like you're saying that they, you know, he does have respect for her. I think that he would actually do more for her.
Well, what about the conversation between he and Daniel on the bridge?
Yeah, that's
where
what
they both came to realize that neither one of them had any relatives in this thing, but they're still in it.
Right.
Yeah, because I think they're starting to feel a connection with the family, but they're also starting to understand that there's protection in numbers and that you have to stick together in order to survive in something like this.
Totally. Yep. You're right on the money on that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the surviving in numbers.
But I also liked it when Maddie was like, well, if you don't like it or if you're not up for it, then you can stay behind with the kids. And it was like such a slap in the face.
Right.
And it was like derogatory towards Luis, yeah, as Luis. If he's a kid and as if he's incapable of handling himself in this situation.
You can sit at the kids' table.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it was. It was a bitch slap.
That was awesome. So if Strand and Luis are as strong as they are, you know, they both kind of feed off of everything that Thomas Abigail has set up for them. So I can't wait to see Abigail and Madison going at it.
That will be interesting.
If he's still alive.
Mm-hmm. I think he is.
He could be a walker by now.
I think they find him. Mm-hmm. I tell you one thing, though. This is just a small point, but I thought it was kind of humorous. Is that, you know, they kept talking about how much money they needed to get across the border. Why is money valuable anymore?
Well, because remember, it's still only a week and a half since the apocalypse happened.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
So everything is still normal in that respect. I mean, that's why the Mexican government still stands, right? Like, if that stuff didn't matter anymore, the Mexican government probably would have fallen by now, too. But they're still standing strong at the border and still checking people before they go in and, you know, that sort of thing. So we're not far enough along for that sort of normal society to deteriorate yet.
So do you think we'll slide into Mexico and then watch Mexico break down?
That would be awesome. If they could go to Mexico City, which is like such a huge city, there's tons of people there to see how it all goes down there. That would be awesome.
Yeah, but I don't see them doing that because the whole idea is for them to get to that oasis ranch of Abigail's, which is supposed to be away from everything. That's why he liked it.
Rancho Relaxo.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean that it's near the water either. So if they get there and then something goes wrong, it doesn't mean that they'll actually be able to get back to the Abigail boat in order to escape back to the United States. So they might have to go over land in order to get back to wherever they need to go.
I don't know why they want to go back to the United States. There's nothing there.
Maybe they'll go to Costa Rica.
Costa Rica.
Wherever they go, it's going to be hot because it's like all desert down there. So that's going to be something totally different than what we've seen with The Walking Dead so far.
Yes, this is true. So, maybe they go to Vegas.
That would be awesome.
Vegas, baby! I would say... I think we need to take a break.
Oh, yeah. I'm fine with that. I need a beer badly.
All right. So we're going to run to a break. We'll be back in a minute. I think we're going to talk more about Maddie and all the craziness she's got going on when we come back.
Crazy.
And get in some of our listener feedback and so forth. See you in a minute.
All right, so we're back from the break, and Kim, you made a little discovery while we were on a break. What happened?
We have a frog on our window.
Yeah, sorry, everybody. If you are hearing a frog during this podcast, it's because it is right outside our window.
We always have some sort of animal interrupting us.
And the frog did write in to say he loved the show and he wants to stay some more.
Yeah.
He is a big fan.
He will not leave. Mm-hmm. So sorry, it's actually kind of nice. It's a musical.
No, but I think finally we can start talking about Madison. And like you said, Scott, we got a lot to talk about.
Well, I mean, I think Madison's character has become one of the most complex characters they have. Mm. I mean, yeah.
Well, we still don't even know her backstory,
right? I mean, she's definitely got some kind of a really, really interesting backstory going on here. So she obviously. We know she can take care of herself,
mm-hmm.
and she's not scared to make a decision, but she's also battling with the maternal instinct, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, part of her is, you know, as you pointed out earlier, this is only a week and a half or so into all this mess,
mm-hmm.
and it's hard for her to go full badass, you know? I mean, she's trying to protect her kids at the same time because she knows she can protect the kids.
Right, mm-hmm. right. And now she's also starting to get a little bit more maternal with Chris when they were sitting on the bed and she reached over and gave him a hug.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's struggling with all these things going on inside of her about what she needs to do and who she needs to be and who is she to Travis and who is she to her kids and, you know, all this stuff is going on in her head. But... at the same time, she also needs comforting from Travis, and she's not getting that either.
That's true. But she's kind of scared Travis a little bit. I mean, she's taking charge. And in a very subtle way, she took it over. Mm-hmm. And now she's kind of running the show, and Strands even had to back off a little bit.
Right.
I thought her interactions with Nick were the most telling. I mean, because, mm-hmm. you know, Strand keeps pointing out that he recognizes that Nick is perfect for this situation. He's going to survive here better. You know, I think even Nick said something about, oh, I'm okay out there, you know. And you know, she's still his mom. She doesn't necessarily recognize him that way, you know, because she's been trying to protect him for years.
Right.
So, you know, he may be recognized like that by Strand, but she hasn't, you know, totally got on board. She will. I think we all know that eventually she's going to be comfortable with these kids participating, but right now she's struggling with it.
Right.
When she told him to back off, too. She told Strand to back off.
Yep.
And then she put Nick in his place, and Nick didn't really, I mean, he was like, Mom, nah, I don't want, you know, he's like totally little kid again.
Right.
But, you know, he didn't really object to the fact that she was going. I mean, I wouldn't let my mom go into that situation. You know, I mean, which is telling in the fact that she, you know, he understands that she's strong, that she can handle it.
Well, I think he was a little shocked, to tell you the truth. I mean, when he came at the second time, you know, when he threw his boots into the boat, he really expected he was going to get her out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you know, and her line to him about, you know, he said, well, why do you want to go? And she said, because you want to.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you want to.
Right. And that and it's really like, kind of just shook up Nick a little bit.
Yeah, right. You're enjoying it a little too mm-hmm. much.
That and her comment about him with the gun.
Yeah, right, don't get used to it.
Yeah, you're getting too comfortable with that.
Well, I think the other part of that, too, is that she sees that addiction behavior coming back with Nick when she says because you want to go on this expedition. Mm-hmm. I think and the whole gun thing, I think she's seeing that he's getting very excited about the excitement.
Yeah, it's his adrenaline high.
Exactly.
Right.
And right. So that behavior is concerning her, because how far is he going to push it? What kind of
right.
person
I think she's worried,
is he going to be?
She's worried he's too reckless.
Right.
Right. That he's too reckless.
Right. And I think she really feels like she needs to protect him from all of that right now. Until she can even figure out what's going on.
Right. You saw it in the last episode. She didn't see it firsthand, but when he was all covered in the blood and he was going up to the zombie and he started growling back at the zombie. I mean, he was trying to see how far he could really push it.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Which is a little dangerous to be doing in this kind of situation.
Yep.
Because there are no rules. No one knows what's going to happen out there with these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they still don't, you know, the whole thing about, you know, Chris talking about it was going to turn and she was kind of like, well, we don't know that. And he was like, everybody turns now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't totally come up with that yet, you know?
Right.
That's a, still a rather new concept to them. Everybody dies is going to turn.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think Maddie's, she's become, I think, you know, a couple episodes ago, we even said we didn't know what Travis and Maddie were. At least now I think we know what Maddie is a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
And she's developed a hell of a lot more. And for her and Scott, even if you had an objection with Daniel mm-hmm. tonight, I think his character was awesome tonight. I think they did both were really
well. I think he did showcased. One. He did one valuable thing, and that's he showed Maddie that she's correct. That these kids are not out there to handle themselves yet. I mean, Daniel yeah. left him in charge, left Chris in charge of Reed, and Reed ends up dead.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't able to handle it. So maybe Daniel gave him a little bit too much leash.
Yeah, but I don't disagree totally with his point. You got to throw people into the fire to see where they stand, yep. you know? Yep. And even if they're kids, I mean...
It's hard to do that yeah. with your kids, though.
Yeah,
with
oh,
your
oh,
own
I agree.
Kids.
Well, I know. That's why he's doing it. Because mm-hmm. it isn't his own kids. So he's, you know, he has a little bit easier time putting them in those situations. Because, I mean, you in this world, you got to see where everybody stands. Whether it's a 12-year-old, like Coral, or mm-hmm. if it's, you know, an 80-year-old,
uh-huh.
whatever.
Right.
I mean, you got to see what people's true abilities are when they're mm-hmm. put in situations. Because everything is so limited now.
This kind of reminds me of Girl Scouts.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say.
I know it's weird, but like as I'm also the Girl Scout leader of our troop, and there's three of us, three leaders, and we went camping recently. And when our girls were going up to do something, the other leaders stepped in to praise them and encourage them. And the moms did it too, but we kind of took a step back a little bit. And it forced the girls to see, okay, I can do this. And you're not embarrassed by what your family is thinking of you. You know what I mean? Like, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, getting like a third party.
Yeah, third party validation. Exactly. Yep. And I think that's what, I think that's Daniel's role in this whole scenario, is that he's trying to get these kids to break out of their shell and push themselves to do something new that they've never done before.
But the problem for parent is that it's been too soon.
Well, of course.
You know, I mean, I think maybe Daniel's doing it a little bit too early.
The problem for Daniel is that Chris is still a dumbass.
Yeah.
No matter what he does.
It completely proved him wrong. That guy, I mean, seriously, not only did he shoot the guy, he shot him in the face on the cheek. He didn't even shoot him correctly. He didn't kill him.
I know.
Right.
I know.
Oh man.
Yeah,
Chris.
I keep hoping it up pretty bad, but
for all the development that's happening with all the characters, I keep hoping Chris comes around.
I think something's gonna.
He's so frustrated.
I'm gonna make a prediction. I think something big is gonna happen with Chris in the next episode.
Like he dies.
I don't know. He might.
I think you pointed out some good stuff with Chris. I mean, he's figuring stuff out more quickly than a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They all turn, right?
Right.
He's going off on his own. He was in the airplane and stuff, and you know, he had already started killing the zombies a little bit more easily than some of the other people, it seemed like. Yeah, and then when he's in the airplane, he's pushing himself a little bit more.
But he's fucked up in a major way a couple times.
He has.
And it's affecting him.
Yeah.
It's making him not trust his instincts at all.
Yeah, he's careless.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you saw him after he shot Reed. He was devastated.
Mm-hmm.
He was begging Maddie to, you know, validate that he was going to turn.
Yeah, he said, I screwed up, didn't I?
Yeah, especially when he found out that there was a trade on.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But she's trying to protect him again. And then he even said thank you when she gave him that hug.
Right.
He is just a little boy that is lost. That's all he is. He's lost his mother. He's lost everything that is normal in his life. He can't even trust father right now. He has no idea which way is up.
Right.
And he's trying to discover himself.
And you have guys like Reed even undermining it even more.
Yep.
Telling him you're not blood with these people.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know. So... Yeah, no, I think that kid's in crisis right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have to tell you, though, when Daniel flipped it and put the bag on the Walker's head, mm-hmm. Walker Reed's head,
yeah.
That was awesome. That was a great moment. I was like, oh, hell yeah.
Hey, got a question, though. Why in the hell was Travis have a bag on his head?
I don't know. It seemed like they had like a bag head agreement going on.
Yeah, but I mean,
it was like they're like they just had bags handy. They're like, oh yeah, trade. You know,
but I mean, you put a bag on somebody's head so that they don't see where they're going, right?
Right. I know.
Right.
It's pretty
so,
stupid.
I'm not quite sure why.
So Madison's standing there and he's still got a bag on his head. So Madison's seeing everything that's going on.
Uh huh.
When he walked out with the bag on his head, or they were putting it on his head, I was like, huh? What? I thought this was an exchange.
They just looked at each other and like,
yeah,
they were
stupid.
They were doing it.
I think they just did it so they could put the bag on the Walker's head, but I mean, I thought it was
odd.
Well,
of course. It was all part of the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a weird
bag head. That's good.
But story. Then when they took the bag off of his head and he saw Connor, and Connor puts his arm up to protect his face or whatever, and Reed bit his arm.
Mm-hmm.
Why did he put his arm up?
I don't
understand that part.
Didn't he say, you look hungry?
You look hungry? Is that what you said?
He was trying to fend him off. I think he was in shock.
No.
He was fending him off, pushing him
away. It looks so awkward.
Mm-hmm. Well,
What should have happened is Reed went in for the neck. There was no reason for him to put his arm up. It just looked really awkward and forced. It was only for the gag. That's the only reason he put his arm up.
Hmm. But, you know, he was fending him off, I guess. Now, I don't know what the dunderhead standing next to Connor was doing. I mean, that guy just standing there watching it, and all of a sudden he gets bit.
Like, actually, both of them. I was surprised the one guy in the
at least
red
the one guy tried
check
to fight.
Shirt. Yeah, he actually went after Travis.
Right. But the other guy just got mauled.
Yeah. I'm not... That whole scene was just kind of weird.
It was kind of weird.
I think that's what Kim's point is. Like, Connor's like, here's this big guy that, you know, and he's got two huge guys on the side of him that are willing to protect him. And yet this one zombie, like, takes him out. It's kind of odd.
Well, you know, she shoved him and she shoved the zombie into him. You remember, she freed the zombie's hands and then threw him forward into him.
Mm-hmm. And then, Connor threw his arm in his mouth.
Right. Well,
it just
seemed
like slow-mo. Like,
yeah.
His arm was there.
You know, he is the chef. Maybe he was worried the zombie was hungry.
Seriously, though, I mean, I've seen that kind of thing with so many times with The Walking Dead and so forth, where the character just kind of stands there and gets eaten because they've got all this makeup and all this stuff on there. Yeah. So they have to have that.
Like, oh, you missed this blood bag.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Bite my cheek and I'll just stand here and let you do it for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
That's silly.
Ah! I mean, you'd be fighting people off. You'd be like, ah.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's like you said, the guy next to him, like, wouldn't he be trying to rip Connor away or get the zombie off or something like that?
He would have stepped in somehow.
He was at the crafts table. He's eyeing a Danish.
Mm, he was. The craft. Nice.
So, what did you guys think about Daniel's friends, his voices?
Okay.
That was weird.
That was very weird. Unexpected. And I don't know how much I feel like I want to have this in the storyline. did you catch when he first had his encounter with the voice?
Well, I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but Ophelia was in the hallway with him. This was right after Chris was put on guard duty. And she said, ¿Qué pasó? Which means, what's wrong? And he said, when the mind goes places it shouldn't.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because remember, he just kind of zoned off out. Blankly. He just kind of zoned out. And I think that was the first time he started wigging out.
That was it? Okay, I thought there was some other thing that you...
No, but I mean, you know, it was important because, you know, this guy was very intense. And he was talking to her about the situation. Then all of a sudden he could just kind of blanked out.
Yep. And when we did hear the voices, I really thought somebody else was in the room with him.
Right.
It was so clear. But what do you think the voices are? Do you think it's his past catching up with his... Stuart, say that line. What is it?
Past is catching up with my good... I don't even know it. I don't know if I said it.
Thanks for sharing that.
Messing up my good life.
There you go. My past is messing up my good life. But do you think his past is catching up with him?
Or... Kim, I honestly have no idea what that was about. I really don't. It was just so odd. Just kind of thrown in there like that.
Well, that's what I think. I think he's starting to lose it. I don't know why he would be losing it now. I really think that this is part of his past, but I don't know what is triggering it.
I don't know. I just couldn't figure out why it was there. It just was an odd introduction to the plot.
I agree. It was kind of an awkward placement.
Well, especially since, I mean, he was kind of being such a badass and coming into his own, and all of a sudden it was like, who the hell is that in the room?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, if there was any
character. Because it was so clear.
Right, if there was any character that seemed to be in control of themselves, it was him.
Yeah, well, I guess that's your plot twist right there.
Yeah, but geez, man, it's kind of good to have somebody in there that is in control of themselves. I mean, I know when I saw that, I wrote down a note that said, oh, good, Crazy Rick's back.
Well, did Rick ever have anything like that, though?
He saw Lori and all that other shit for a long time.
Yeah, he saw ghosts.
That's right. Okay. Well, yeah, but this was, I mean, that's where this was like, he wasn't seeing anybody.
Yeah,
it was
but
just
that's
like,
just a start, Stuart. That's just a start.
Okay,
that's
I know,
happened.
But it was just such a clear voice. So it was actually kind of confusing.
Yeah, because it really did sound like someone was in the room.
Right.
Well, even he looked around like, what's going on?
Right.
Trying to find somebody. But the voice said, take the gun, Daniel, take the gun. So that makes me wonder, is it a flashback or something happening from the very first time that he had to kill somebody? Because he was in the room with Walker Reed. Maybe the fact that Chris has just killed this guy is bringing this all up or something. And that's Chris's first... Not his first kill, but, you know, one of his first kills.
It's just a stressful situation. And so it's, you know, it obviously is bringing something up. But,
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't even had a chance to deal with his wife dying yet.
I guess, you know, it was a male voice. Mm-hmm. So we know it was a guy. But I don't know, Kim. I mean, I think anything we say on this thing is total speculation because there's no clues as to what that's about.
Yeah, we don't like to speculate.
And it was in English.
Yeah, it's in Spanish, right?
No, it was in English,
no.
So you would think it would have been in Spanish.
I thought it was in Spanish, so it was subtitled.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, now I got to go back and look. I'll go back and look, too. But anyways, the point is, I still think that it's something from his very first days of having to be the interrogator and having to kill somebody. or torture somebody at least.
Actually, you know what? It wasn't Spanish, Kim, because you said it to me, because you translated it when it actually happened.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's
sorry. Good. Sorry, I didn't mean to step. I didn't mean to step on your point, but yeah, you translated it to me. I do remember that. Because okay. I don't know Spanish. Kim is relatively fluent in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
So
I wouldn't say that. But
all I can say, Kim, is I can't even, you know, it was so out of place and it was such a strange thing to pop in all of a sudden that I have no speculation on it. I don't know what the hell that was about. I really would rather not see Daniel go down that road, to tell you the truth.
Nah.
We don't need that. You know, we don't need crazy Daniel hearing voices, you know.
Yep.
That's a plot twist I would not be in favor of, so, if that's what they're planning.
But all right, so
we'll see.
What about Alicia and Jack?
The confrontation on the bow of the boat.
I have to say, I am kind of glad that's over. I like Alicia a little bit more, but
Stu is against young love.
Yeah,
I want you to know that, folks.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry again. Going into relationship stuff, just like they ended out the Walking Dead season. Yeah, I think I have more important things to be dealing with right now. And this Jack guy, like, obviously Alicia's using him. So,
So you don't think Alicia has feelings for him?
Well, I kind of think maybe there's a little bit there, but really, I think there's more. She's more tied to her family, obviously. So, and I think she understands that this guy's using her.
Well, I thought it was,
which is why she's hiding from him in the kitchen in the cabinet, place. Right. Yeah, right.
But I just thought it was insane that he was surprised that she would pick her family over him. I mean,
I know.
You know, saying that they abandoned Alex and they'll do it to you, that didn't make any sense, number one. And number two, he was with a gang of killers that were supposed to have killed her family.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, and he knew about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she smacked him with the clipboard.
Yep.
And so why in the hell would he, in any way, would she pick him over her family?
Right.
I don't know. I was perplexed about that, too.
It was an odd confrontation, to say the least.
But damn, how awesome was it that she slid off the edge of the boat?
That was cool. But I think, was unexpected. Kim, it was. I think you made a pretty good prediction right after that, though. And I think it kind of leads to the point of what Scott's saying. I think this guy's a little off.
Mm-hmm.
A little wiggy-waggy?
Yeah, and I think he will be back.
Yeah, like he's obsessed with her. I think
he'll be back eventually. Yeah, I think he will be.
But one of the questions that I had was, why in the very beginning did Connor treat her so differently than other people? Because remember, he made the steak for her, and Jack was like, wow, he made you a steak? That's new.
Yeah, he said, that's a first for that.
Yeah, so what did Connor see in Alicia that made him want to treat her that way?
And I think Jack even said, what do you do to people or something?
Yeah.
You know, to that effect. I don't know. I mean, I didn't understand it either. I mean, it kind of was, I don't know what's so special about her that would make him do that.
Well, Connor said that Jack spoke very highly of her and explained how special she was to him. Again, I think Jack might have had a little bit more clout than we give him credit for.
Maybe so. He sure wanted to leave pretty quick, though.
Yeah, but that might have been to control the situation.
Could be.
Well,
could be.
The other thing that I thought was weird was that she's brand new on the boat, but yet they have her on the captain's deck looking for other boats to take over. And he's teaching her how to do it and what to say and all that stuff. I'm like, you know, you should probably give her a little bit of time because you just did this to her family. And she doesn't know yet if her family's alive, but yet you're teaching her how to kill other people.
Well, you know, it's summertime. She's a teenager. She needs a summer job.
And where the hell is she going to drive the boat?
Exactly.
She can't really hurt anything. They're in dry dock.
It's not like working at Carowinds.
She's not driving the boat anywhere. She's telling them where to go.
I know, I'm kidding. Just saying, she can't break anything.
But again, why would Alicia run off with a guy who's pointing at the screen going, "You live, you die. You
yeah,
live,
it was,
you die."
Yeah.
Yeah. And then MY44, okay, that's the Abigail. And he doesn't that's get right. it right away Good. That MY44 is the Abigail. And he has to take the clipboard to look for it. And she's like, that's my family's boat? Like, why are they here so fast? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. I don't know. The whole thing just was weird and off. I didn't get it.
Yeah, it was an odd confrontation. I did like Alicia in the episode, though.
Oh, yeah, I liked her, too. She had some fantastic hair, too, by the way. Let me just tell you.
The apocalypse ain't keeping that popping.
Exactly. If I am ever in the apocalypse, I want to figure out what her hair product is, because she's running all through this boat, and not a hair is out of place. Even when she jumps in the water, her hair is perfect when she comes out.
And her makeup's perfect.
Yes. Good God.
She popped out of the water and it said, bling.
Yeah.
Bling.
But.
I need some foundation.
I thought it was also kind of funny that. she almost blew it because she's running through the boat looking for everybody. And she's like, where did everybody go? And little does she know that Travis is now being handed over to her people. And that she was supposed to be handed over to her people if she had been where she was supposed to be. She wouldn't have had to deal with all this stuff. Yeah. And so she almost missed her opportunity to get him.
No, but it was a good stressful situation. You know, yeah. It was like, well, how is she going to get out there now? Now that they're making the switch.
Well, you know, and even when they were putting the bag over Travis's head, and Connor said to them, okay, bring me the girl. And Jack was kind of like, oh, well, you said I was going to be able to, you know. He's like, no, things have changed. Situation's different. You know, so I think he was still going to try to hide her somewhere or something. So she went out on her own to go see if she could find Travis. She had no idea all this other garbage was going on.
Mm-hmm. I know, but yep. She almost screwed it up for herself, too.
She almost did. But there was a lot of almost screw-ups. I mean,
and I
Chris's
was,
almost screw-up.
I was surprised that Maddie and Travis got in the boat and they're heading out and she's able to jump like 20 feet out in front of them. And...
I know.
It's like, man, you know, I would be really stressed as to like, where are they? Can I get near them? And she just jumped right
I'm
off
not
the
jumping
side.
Down there.
There they are.
The hell I'm going to do that.
Movie magic.
I was hoping to see some more walkers or floaters under the water too. Reaching up for her from the depths, the bowels of the ocean. That was a cool scene.
That would have been funny. Yes, it was a cool scene.
Well, is there anything else about the episode that you guys wanted to touch on that we haven't talked about already?
I got a small thing.
Okay.
A small thing that I thought was kind of interesting, and this is one for you. I was reading online somewhere, and I honestly don't remember where I read it. But they were talking about the scene with Reed in the bag over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying that it was a lot like one of the scenes in the comic book, I think, where, who was the character? Holly?
Yeah.
I guess is brought back to Alexandria with a bag over her head, even though she was a zombie.
Yep.
And then she attacks Denise.
Yep.
So maybe they were using this scene as kind of a homage to that.
Right. I saw that same article that was supposed.
Oh, okay.
That was supposed to be our news item tonight.
Oh well, how about that?
Dave Erickson said that had nothing to do with the Walking Dead comic book, and it was pure coincidence.
Okay.
So
I gave up too easily on that one.
One of the things I wanted to bring up about this episode was the idea of family. We've seen that obligation is definitely a theme that's been going on this whole season, but now it seems more and more that family's coming back into it. And even Reed said when he was talking to Daniel and Chris that blood's all that matters now. But it feels more like the whole feel of the show is starting to feel more like a family. It's kind of starting to feel like The Walking Dead to me. where Strand and Daniel are the strong men, but they can also be a little bit softer that we're discovering. Mm-hmm. And then Madison cares for her children, but she's starting to harden a little bit and becoming that strong person that she needs to be to protect everybody. And then everybody else is still trying to figure out their place and their role in the new world. But the whole episode has a different feel to it now. Like I'm starting to feel more connected to these people. Like they are becoming family.
It's like a cohesive unit, lot more of a cohesive unit. They may have different motivations bringing them together, but they are working as a unit.
Yeah.
I definitely see Maddie is sliding into the Rick role.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
Not a nutcase like Rick, but you know, take charge person who can handle herself and can handle the action that comes up mm-hmm. and is not scared to make the hard decisions.
Right. Yeah. So I just thought it was cool that up to this point, we've all been talking about how this cast, or the characters rather, have not been really working for us. And now it seems like they're starting to pull it together and the writers are starting to figure out the flow of the show. And it just seems better. I'm starting to dig it.
Good observation. I agree totally. I think we're just definitely getting to a point where we can start caring about some of these characters.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's all I had.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
Do we have any other notes on the episode anybody wants to bring up?
Nope.
I'm good.
You are good, Stuart.
Yeah, no, I'm awesome.
Do you have your Twitter up?
Don't you talk about my Twitter on this podcast.
You know, if you keep your Twitter up for 4 hours, you need to go to the hospital.
May require medical attention. Now, we had some good feedback off Twitter. Do you want me to go ahead and read some?
Yeah.
Please.
Okay, yeah, Ryan the Lion. Scott, I think you loved that one. Oh, Hercules good. Handy.
Yes, Hercules Handy. Way to go, bro.
He said, thought it was a great episode. Connor wasn't so badass, reminded me of this guy, which is the guy that was Negan's main man, the motorcycle guy.
Yeah.
He got killed off. The Jester, I think you
the
called
jester.
Him.
Yeah, oh, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
And Madison is a definite leader, which I think a lot of people were talking about how great Madison was in this. And Lady Dixon KR said, agreed. Connor's death was kind of lame to me. Like, let's put my arm right into the walker's mouth. And then she followed it up with, great episode. We are really getting to into the character's death now and changing and evolving. I can see Madison as the new Rick.
Hey, y'all agree.
Which Scott said, yeah, Scott was saying it was taking on the Rick role. And I think we had, one more. Dakara said, awesome episode. It's a shame the scene between Alex and Alicia was cut, which was something they mentioned on The Talking Dead. And they wonder where Alex is now.
Yeah, you know, we really didn't discuss that, did we?
Where do you think she is?
Well,
I think she's on the Abigail.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you think she got
there? I think she snuck on the Abigail. I think she snuck, when she left out of there and all the chaos was going on.
How would she do that?
She took a dinghy or something out there. While they're all focused on the other stuff.
Right after she says, no one uses me?
Yep.
Hmm. That's cool.
I could be wrong, but.
I mean.
Just a thought.
I could see it happening. I do think she's coming back, and I think she'll be back next episode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wanted to mention one other thing. I think we had, we were talking junk about people in Madagascar last time because we realized that we actually had a listener in Madagascar.
That's awesome.
If you're not familiar, Madagascar is a country off the coast of Africa. If you didn't know that, then you should look at some geography. But
mm-hmm. Don't get the window seat in geography class, please.
No. I believe their primary language is French. And we have a listener, OTH Madagascar, who did say, yes, we do have internet over here. Yes, we listen to podcasts. Yes, we exist like for real. Love Madagascar. Which we in turn said, listen, we love you and so glad you are listening to us over there. And got a reply, I wasn't mad, just wanted to clarify because you guys seem lost. So we appreciate you so much and all the other many countries and continents who are picking us up, which we never thought would actually happen.
No, we didn't. I mean, this is fantastic. And, yeah, and any of these comments are great. I mean, you know, we've had good ones. We had bad ones. We just want to hear them.
Yeah. Hey, we got Maharashtra, India out there. Haves, wow. Hungary, Beijing, China, Louth, Ireland.
Cool. And, motherland.
Oh, yeah? Is it? Okay. Glasgow, that's right, City, Stuart. UK, Queensland, Australia. Mm. I just want to make sure everybody knows I'm not tracking anybody. It just happens to show cities. So we're excited that everybody's excited about our podcast. So
I want to hear from some of you people out there in the other countries and tell us how people like Fear the Walking Dead. Like, you know, in the other countries, do you like it better than The Walking Dead? Are you even able to see it on TV?
Are people watching it? Yes.
I mean, I thought they were only showing it in the UK.
There is the internet. Okay, good.
For some reason, we're still getting lots of input, or not input, lots of downloads from Missouri.
Missouri.
We love you, yeah. Missouri.
We do love you, Missouri.
What's going on, Missouri? Talk to us.
Talk to us. Let us know why you love us. or hate us. Or use us in your schools. We don't know.
I love it. Well, on that note, we also got a new iTunes review. So we got 5 out of 5 stars, thankfully. So this is from Ag Groninite, and he or she, I don't know who what you are, said, this is the Fear the Walking Dead podcast that I look forward to the most. I also appreciate that they enjoy the show. They add funny tidbits along with interesting takes on each episode. Thanks for a great recap. You are welcome.
Awesome.
Thank you for a great review.
We needed some ego boost.
Seriously. We did. Yeah, that's awesome. Seriously. That is really cool.
And now for news. Scott took my one news item. But the other news item is that some of the ratings have been released. And right now, Fear the Walking Dead is at 4.8 million viewers.
Wow.
That's awesome. So even though it's a lot lower than what The Walking Dead is at, which I guess is kind of understandable, that's still really awesome. And it's still the number 2 rated show on AMC. Because most of those shows are around 1 to 2 million, and they're already at 4.8. But like when season 1 premiered, it was at 6.86. million.
Right. Right.
And then
it steadily dropped the last couple of episodes, but still, to put it in perspective, shows like Breaking Bad, which averaged until their last season 1.5 to 3 million.
Wow. Seriously?
An episode. Yes. Or Mad Men, 1.5 to 3 million was their average episode. Better Call Saul is averaging about 2 million an episode.
Wow.
So, you know, even though they have steadily fallen, they've kind of maxed or kind of leveled out a little bit around 7.3 or 4.7 or 4.8.
Yeah.
But that's still way above these other shows that we all consider to be, you know, the benchmarks for some of the AMC shows, especially when you're talking about like Breaking Bad.
Yeah, and they're saying that one of the reasons that they've lost some of their ratings is because they're now going up against Game of Thrones head-on.
Oh, God, yeah. Can you imagine?
But they won't be in August.
No, they won't. Mm.
They will be on their own in August, so it'll be really interesting to see where the ratings go in August.
Yeah. Well, as I was going to say, the week 1 of season 2 was only a little bit lower than week one of season one. It was like 6.8 versus 6.7, so.
How do they factor in like the on-demand stuff? Or do they or can they?
I think that's a different rating system.
Yeah, this is more active TVs live. Watching.
Yeah, because I would have to
households
say
households watching.
Yeah, for that show, for Game of Thrones, Better Call Saul, all that stuff, I would say has a huge following solely in like on demand watching now. So yeah, but that's amazing that they would be that far ahead. That's awesome.
Yeah. I was reading a lot about how the ratings were falling since the first episode, but when you put it in perspective, though. You know, they're still doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you would expect it all to fall from the first episode. Everybody's jumping in on it. I'm just so surprised that it's that high after that. Their first season was, you know, their breakout season.
Right.
Their first six episodes, and it wasn't that great. And when you see some of the Twitter comments and things like that, people are like super surprised how good it is.
Yeah, and you know, I mean, they did average that first season. The debut was at 10 million, and
wow,
the average was at 6.6 for the first season.
God, it's amazing.
Yeah, so there was a lot of people that were really wanting to get into the show.
Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully a lot of people will jump back on.
Yep. Yeah, I'll be real interested to see what happens after the hiatus and we come back in August.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the season, I think we're all in agreement that this season has been so much better. But like you said, Scott, you watched the first one again. You're like, you know, actually, it was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're very surprised at how good it actually was. Maybe we just came in a little harsh. I don't know.
Well, it was, we didn't know what to expect, you know.
Too comparative.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think you're actually right on that. We had great expectations, and it took a while for these characters to develop. We're used to characters that have been developed over the last six seasons.
Yeah,
with The Walking Dead.
And we saw a brand new thing, and we saw where we wanted it to go.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing too, Stu, and it's the thing that we compliment them on, is they have made themselves a different show than The Walking Dead.
It's great that they have.
The pacing is completely different.
Yep.
And the material that they're having to go through and so forth is happening much faster than it happens on The Walking Dead. And I think they're really coming, and it took a little while for them to establish that. I think we all still think it was a little annoying that they skipped, like, whatever it was, 9 weeks or something.
9 days.
9 days, excuse me. 9 weeks, 9 days, whatever.
9 months.
9 months. 9 years. Oh, yeah. 9 years.
So Maddie had that kid, and we're like, what the hell?
Where did he come from? But yeah, the 9 days that were lost there was a little annoying, but nonetheless, the series has I think really done a lot to establish itself at this point.
Yep, I agree.
We done with the news?
Yeah.
Okay,
is that going to next week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so next week on Fear the Walking Dead season 2 episode 6. That was the Cambridge Singers singing their hit, Psych at Service, which is the title of next week's episode. Which means evidently, like a deer? I don't know. Kim, can you clue us in a little bit on that Psych at Service?
Yeah, we were very interested in what this all meant. So Psych at Service, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but it means like a deer. And it's from Psalm 42. And it's set to music. So I'm trying to find it. Hold on.
I'm actually having flashbacks now.
Well, I can tell you, while Kim is looking that up, the episode will have conflict erupts in the final push towards Strand's destination. Chris makes a decision that shakes the family, and Nick meets a new maternal figure.
That's weird. Hmm.
That kind of creeps me out a little bit. Well, what do you think about that?
Okay, yeah. So the Translation from the psalm is, as the deer longs for running water, so longs my soul for you, O God.
Maybe they're longing to get to Baja.
I have no idea. Maybe. I have no idea what that means. No, that's probably one of the stranger titles they've ever used.
Like, well, we'll have to see what happens in the story.
Well, I think I mentioned before, or at least I mentioned our discussions earlier, that, you know, that AMC had released a few photos where it shows they're in Mexico now. Or possibly. I don't know.
Possibly.
The graphics definitely seem like they are, from what I'm seeing. But this maternal figure for Nick, I don't know. That one's weird.
Maybe that's Alex.
I can't see that. She's a little too close in age to him to be the maternal figure.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's Luis's mother.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's I can see her because she's badass as hell.
Right.
From what Luis was saying, Nick may be really impressed with her.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's probably true.
It could be. Could be. And evidently, Chris is making a big decision. I hope it doesn't mean he's going to pop in, so.
Maybe he'll leave the
group. You know what? He's made many big decisions that have been big disasters so far. So we'll
see. He's not proven himself to be a good decision maker.
No.
So.
That frog is awesome.
I feel bad for the actor. He's trying to. Yeah, the frog is our fourth commentator.
Yes, exactly. We'll call him Ross.
I didn't realize he was so loud. So actually, for a change, I'm really looking forward to next week. We've only got two episodes left.
Yep.
Before the summer break. So
yeah, I've been psyched about every episode.
I
so
think
far.
We're leading up to something pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
So there'll be a showdown in Mexico.
Ooh, maybe they're running into Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting to see if what Strand is trying to go get, Strand and Luis are trying to get to, is even there anymore, like you guys were saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a good chance that it's already overrun. So
I still think it's there. I mean, and more I think about the Nick with the maternal figure, I really think they find those people still at that compound.
Yeah, but the other side of that is, since it's taken Luis and Strand so long to get back, Thomas Abigail, might have gotten so concerned that he left and went back to the United States to try to find them.
Could be.
And so there's that whole thing.
Like two ships passing in the night?
Yeah, and another mega yacht.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Abigail too.
So I don't know.
Yep. So I would say that we'll look forward to next week. And as far as this week, I think it's a wrap. What do you guys think?
My birthday's on Friday, so
thanks for the reminder.
Yep, thank you.
So yeah, and listeners out there, if you want to send presents, cards, money, and any flowers,
send it to the Kin Fund.
Yeah, Kim, send it to Kim. Mm-hmm. She will be expecting it.
But it's going to be an awesome birthday because it's Friday the 13th.
It is Friday the 13th. It's perfect.
Kim is looking for enough funds to fix that toe.
Yeah. I am. Well, I'm going to be partying it up with my girlfriend in Charleston.
Oh, you're ditching the family on your birthday?
Yeah.
Heck yeah,
I'm
man.
Screwed.
That's like the perfect birthday present for me.
So,
Stuart doesn't even have to buy anything.
They're going to take Stuart home in a body bag.
Yeah. I'm actually going to try and take the kids to a baseball game. So hopefully I do not die.
Insane.
Do you need some value?
Friday the 13th. Yeah, I will need a lot of everything.
Okay.
I'm going to have to run by Growler Time and get some drinks.
Friends at Growler Time.
But Kim, you said you're gonna do a haunted tour possibly
we're gonna do a ghost tour hopefully Friday night on Friday the 13th, so cool. I'll let you know what happens. All if right. anything should be fun.
Okay, and I do expect my two podcast mates to come up with some good craft beers next week.
Yes, sir.
We will.
Okay, all right.
All right, well, thanks for joining us, everyone. You can find us on Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can also find us on Facebook and on the web at www.fearmepodcast.com. If you want to get in touch with us or send us your thoughts on the episode, you can email us at fearmepodcast@gmail.com. So we'll be back next week to review episode
6
of Fear the Walking Dead. Thanks for listening.
Good night.
See you guys.